Well, it's the Feast of the Holy Family, and Father Saunders invited my family to come for dinner this evening. I can only imagine that he wants to be surrounded by a holy family in the midst of our feast day. He didn't say that, but I'm just reading between the lines. So we have this wonderful feast, and it's an important one throughout history, but especially for us now. It's a very hard time to have a holy family, to raise a family in the midst of a culture that's often very hostile to what it is that we believe and what we stand for as Catholics. But nonetheless, that's our primary duty, the primary goal of any family. In a special way, the parents of a child, but no matter what our place is in the church, in that larger family of the church, whether we're godparents or grandparents, uncles or aunts, cousins, siblings, we're all called to help each other, both within our natural families and the family of the church, to be holy. And we look at the Holy Family as a model, this model of a family that worships God and honors each other as given to each other from God. Because ultimately, we're given to each other on loan, especially children to parents. When we go through the baptism rite, it's very clear that this child came from God, the parents are returning that child as a child of God in baptism, and that the whole goal is to be holy and bring this child with ourselves to holiness and to heaven. That's the goal of every family. Everything else is secondary and serves that purpose. Because if we really believe what we say we believe, that heaven is forever and this time on earth is very short, then everything that we do that helps us get to heaven is worthwhile and important. And everything that takes us away from that is terrible. So when we look at that, we can often think, well, that means that we have to pray and be in church all the time. But actually, everything that we do is ordered towards God. God doesn't want us to simply pray constantly, but He does want us to always be in a state of prayer, that we enjoy all the good things of life, activities and family and friends, the natural beauty of the world, travel, whatever it is, but that we do it always in a spirit of thanksgiving to God. That's what Christ means by praying always. Not that we're always on our knees, but that we always have a spirit of gratitude towards God. And as a family, we look to God as the giver of every good thing. So that it's not something that's tacked on that we fit between various activities in our week, but He's part of everything that we do, everything that we are, all the good things. Because then we actually enjoy those good things as a family even more, because they're ordered towards something not just in that moment, but something eternal. Having fun together actually binds us together and helps us to be holier. It's not just an event in and of itself. And then when those difficult times come, which they surely will, it's an opportunity for us to know that we're not alone, that Christ's own holy family suffered from the beginning. And though they had many wonderful times together, I'm sure, we hear so often in the gospel about the difficult times and how they persevered and how now Joseph and Mary are the great saints of the church and our Lord reigns in heaven. That's the model and that's the goal. And that's why each of us has to ask ourselves, what is the center of our week as a family? Whether that family is just our individual self within the family of the church, or even more so if we have children that are responsible to us. In that idea, we have to say what helps us to get holy and what helps us to fall away from God. First and foremost, of course, is the Sunday Mass. You know, God doesn't require that as sort of a punch that we have to make between all of our activities. He requires it not because it adds anything to Him, He's already God, but because He knows that how we spend that first day of the week, that Sunday morning or that Saturday evening, that sets the tone for our whole week. And whatever it is that we at times let get in the way of that, that is not only breaking the third commandment, the commandment to honor the Lord's day, but also the first commandment. We've put something else before God. We've made that our idol. It's as certain as in the Roman times when a family would go back to pagan practice and put a golden idol in their house. We're putting a golden idol of whatever it is that got in the way of Mass in our house and worshiping it for that entire week. That's the tone that it sets. So the church gives us the tools, the ability to be holy. Not only Sunday Mass, which sets the tone, but when we do make a mistake, the ability to be reconciled. What a powerful witness it is when we go to confession as a family. Because the children can see that it's okay to make a mistake and then to be sorry for it and to be reconciled with the family, because they see their parents going to confession and being sorry for their own sins. It takes a great amount of humility for a family to see each other going to confession and saying sorry. And it helps to engender that spirit of forgiveness within the family. The church doesn't give us these tools by accident. They have a real meaning within our family. So that Mass of every week, confession together, and then letting that whole week be a celebration of what God's given us. That we never forget to thank God for the many blessings we have. Whether it's our ability to do enjoyable things together, our material possessions, or even each other. If we do that, if we make God the center, then everything that is joyful becomes more joyful, and those difficult times are rooted in something more than just the shifting sands of time and society. So my recommendation for all of us, whether we have a large family ourselves or whether it's just us in the church, we think about where we put God in our lives, how it is that we're impacting those around us in the community, in the church, and in our families. Maybe sit down as a family and talk about ways that perhaps we failed this past year to honor God, because we all have them. And make those resolutions that everyone's making, but make them for God. How are we going to change and become holier? Because ultimately, that's all that matters. Christ says that if we lead a little one astray, it's better that a millstone be tied around our neck and we be cast into the sea. It's pretty heavy. So it's time to unloose ourselves of those millstones. And in this new year, examine the ways that we can grow together in holiness. Because then, it's not just here together that we gather, but we'll all gather together in the kingdom of heaven. And that's the only goal. It's the only goal that matters. Because through good times and through bad times, we'll grow closer and then find each other together in eternal life.